Where are you going to go for the best in college radio? The University of Central Missouri, of course. Tune in to the UCM radio station, The Beat.
Welcome back to The Winning Formula on UCM Radio The Beat. I am your host, Cole Elling. I hope everyone had a fun and safe Thanksgiving and was able to spend some time with the people you love. It has been a couple weeks since our last episode with Thanksgiving last week, but if you weren't able to tune in last episode, I sat down with sophomore wrestler Paul Hernandez. Paul and the wrestling team will be competing this Saturday at the Drury Open in Springfield, Missouri. The team will be on the road till January 14th, so be on the lookout for the Mules wrestling team as they eventually will make their way back to competing on campus. Before I introduce my two guests for today's show, please send us some emails, some questions, comments through our email line, winningformula64093@gmail.com. Again, that is winningformula64093@gmail.com. I have two of my teammates and good friends with me today, Robbie Sager and Calvin Dillon. I couldn't think of a better two guests to join me in our final episode of the semester. These two gentlemen I admire very much in their hard work to their craft in golf, while also wearing several different hats in their respective lives. They have also made me a better golfer in person, and want to talk to them about a few things that they are doing or done that provided the success for UCM golf and make our culture on this team so awesome. So thank you guys again for coming down here today. I know Calvin's been listening. I know you both been listening to the show, so it's kind of cool for you guys to get in here, but thank you. Hope you guys are enjoying your semester with golf being over now. So
yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. So, well, let's jump right into it. If listeners do not know, our golf season's kind of done with for this semester, so we're having some time off. What have you guys been up to now that we're not qualifying, competing, and traveling? Anything fun?
I wouldn't necessarily say fun. I've been grinding on that homework.
Yep.
You know, just trying to get the essays, all the chapters read and stuff like that. So that's kind of been the majority of my time. I kind of stay cooped up in my room because there's just a lot of chapters to be read. So with the end of the semester coming up, got a lot of papers to write as well. So
yep,
that's kind of what I've been doing.
How many final exams you got?
Well, I only have four, and three of them I can try to get ahead on. So I'm definitely going to be trying to do that. But the other one is, it's timed, I guess, per se. There's a specific time that I have to do it, but not a whole lot, but it's still definitely in the back of my brain that there's a lot coming up.
Yeah, for sure.
Kind of same as Robbie. You know, during the golf season, you kind of tread water academically and try and, you know, keep decent grades, and then you have the last month or two to grind and kind of recover a little bit. So that's what I've been doing, similar to Robert.
Yeah.
And
you're in the room with two other academic All-Americans, all three of us academic All-Americans.
That's right.
Last semester.
That's
so
a couple academic weapons,
some bookworms, baby.
That's right.
Yeah.
But yeah, watching a lot of football, basketball season started, enjoying that. Obviously Thanksgiving last week, it's good to see family.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we've been working out a lot as a team and then a little bit individually as well this week, at least with dead week for finals. But yeah,
for sure good. Yeah, things are definitely wrapping up here on campus these next months. But let's take a step backwards again to the beginning of this season. We've competed, I think, how many total times was it this semester?
Six tournaments
this semester. Wound up in the seventh spot regionally. Not too shabby, better than where we ended up our last year and in the fall semester. But yeah, let's talk about this team this year. We kind of got a lot of returners in the lineup. some new faces that have been definitely keeping those older guys like myself on our toes, keeping us ready. What's different about this team than you'd say previous years?
I think kind of like you mentioned, we have some returners from last year. Different. I guess there's, like, you look back on, you know, our first couple years, you have guys like Matt, Nick, Sam, all Americans, great golfers. I don't think we've really had, I mean, Alex kind of, you know, he won conference last year, but we haven't really had any breakouts like that yet. I think we're still kind of waiting for someone to step up and be that guy. But as far as the semester, I mean, we took fourth, what, three, four times?
Yeah.
You know, for a lot of programs, that's a pretty solid fall. You know, but for us, we hold ourselves to a higher standard. And it was kind of good, not great.
Pretty mediocre, it felt like.
Yeah. A lot more disappointment than, you know, celebration, I guess. Yeah. But
I think there's a lot of good though in that mediocrity, air quotes that I'm putting around that. But you know, there's things that coach has been harping our 4 years here. My four years here, and that's like, you know, not big numbers. We're eliminating a lot of those big numbers. Eliminating a lot of big numbers on par threes, a lot of pars, making a ton of pars. Just really, I mean, I think college golf might just be getting better these last few years. We're just not making enough birdies.
Yeah.
I think that's what it kind of came down to.
Yeah, and I think you guys mentioned it was kind of like mediocre, and I think part of that is because we started off really well in each of these tournaments. We were leading or right up there in the top three in most of the tournaments that we played. And then the last round, we just kind of gave away some shots and let people catch up to us. And so I think that's kind of where we need to move forward. We just need to finish the tournaments and keep the gas pressed down instead of letting up.
100%. It's an exhausting season. I mean, both semesters, I feel like it's just like you're getting, it's hard to point out those little things and get better at during the season in between tournaments. You know, now that semester's coming to an end, you've had that break for a little bit. What are you guys doing right now, these last, you know, 3-4 weeks and going into Christmas break, that, you know, might not be swinging the club, might not be, you know, hitting a 500 putts, but like what are some of those things you see yourself or trying to do now, at least?
I think one thing that I'm really trying to do is eat better. Neely, my girlfriend, gonna plug her. She's a nutrition freak and works out a lot, so she's been encouraging me in that, and you know, I see a lot of benefits that she gains from that. And I think, you know, you look at all the professional golfers in our sport, you know, all of them have, you know, dietitians, they're eating, they're fueling their body correctly. I think that's something that I could definitely be better at. And then I know you wanted to maybe get into it a little later, but working on the mental side, we've been reading this book called Simplicity. Just trying to get in the zone more, but just working on the mental side of the sport.
Very much so.
Yeah, I'm doing similar things. I've been wanting to work with my sister on my nutrition this winter break. I'm doing that. You know, we've got workouts with the team, and we're in the dead week now, but I've been trying to encourage the guys to continue going and get the workout in for the day. And I know over the winter I'll be working out, trying to go every day, obviously take some rest days here and there, but just try to get not necessarily bigger, but faster, and just try to swing the club a little bit harder.
Yeah, that's golf workouts are sometimes comical, I feel like, to other athletes. I you know, I'm not the biggest guy whatsoever. I don't lift a ton of weights. I don't work out as much as I should, but when I go to those team workouts and we're, you know, working across the rack from baseball and, you know, track throwers and some football players, it's like, gosh, and these guys see us like repping down the bands and stuff like that. So it's definitely a lot of speed. But I don't know, what is your guys' take on those workouts?
I mentioned this to Cole yesterday, but did you see Snowball's story a couple of days ago?
I don't think so.
He's a thrower here. He had like six plates on either side, squatting, and did like 3 or 4 reps.
I was in there while he was doing that.
And we're in there with our bands ripping those things.
I'm doing like
sheathing our sword.
I'm doing 45-pound dumbbell bench, and he's just over there just squatting basically 10 of me. Yeah, no,
you try to get that guy to swing a golf club though.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it takes a little hand eye, you know.
I mean, I don't want to throw the what does he throw the shot put?
Yeah, I think he does them all. Yeah,
yeah, I wouldn't want to throw any of those either right back at us. So, yeah, it's cool to be a part of. Speaking of which, other athletes on campus, we've had quite the showing for UCM athletics this semester. Football season sadly just got cut short, in my opinion. Tough loss last Saturday to Harding University. And then you got softball or volleyball winning the regular season title, tournament title. They play tomorrow against St. Cloud for regionals, first round of tournament play. And then we have our girls' golf. I can't forget those. Jenny's golf taking 4 out of 5 wins this semester. Mm-hmm. Obviously we're very proud to be Mules and Jenny's here, but for a team like us who we really haven't found that breakthrough, what is that like sitting back and seeing these classmates, friends, putting that work in and getting these done? Like, I'm sure it's a little extra motivating for guys like us.
Yeah, definitely. It's extremely motivating because, I mean, and this might sound a little weird, but it's kind of like you don't want to be that guy that doesn't get mm-hmm. the conference champion. You don't want to be the team that doesn't win tournaments and whatnot. So it's definitely motivating. It's like, okay, these guys are picking up their game. It's time to pick up ours as well.
Yeah.
Let's put our head to the grindstone and just keep working going at it. And I honestly feel like this next semester it's going to be a big breakthrough for us.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I want it to be because it's my last semester of college golf, and I'm really excited for it. But it's the last one ever, and it's something that I don't want to end. But I know that our guys are some of the best guys that are out there on the course each and every day, and so I know that we have the capability. We just got to go out and do it. It's ours for the taking.
Yep. That's what's tough about golf, man. We got, no matter who's traveling week in or week out, we got 5 guys that can get it done, and it's just so hard sometimes to get 5 guys or 4, at least 4, playing the same good golf in 1 week. You got all those other sports where, you can take a playoff. You got teammates to pick you up, but out there you got to make, 18 good holes, and hopefully you got 4 or 5 other guys doing the same thing. And it's just the timing of it's a lot tougher, I feel like, than a lot of those other sports. But
yeah. Sure. Robbie kind of touched on it, but, I mean, you look around, UCM historically is has a rich history of winning on all levels, all sports, mm-hmm. Conference, regionals, nationals, whatever it is. And, during the fall, you're looking around, you're seeing all these teams have success. And, I think it's hard because our championship season's in the spring. So although we are playing, we don't have the opportunity like soccer or volleyball or football to, prove ourselves in the postseason like they did. So I think, like Robbie said, we're just really looking forward to the spring.
Staying hungry.
That's right.
Staying hungry. That's a very good point. It's much different than a lot of those other sports that we go watch. But moving back to football, were you guys able to make it out to a few games here at Audrey J. Walton Stadium this year?
Yeah, I was only able to make it to one. We were on the road a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I am not subscribed to the MIAA network. So
not a true fan.
Not a true fan. Fake fan.
Fake fan.
But I didn't get to watch too many games. But the games that I did watch was really entertaining. We beat the brakes off of Central Oklahoma, and that was fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at the box score after every game, and Zach doing what he's doing. I mean, that's
61 touchdowns.
Yeah, that's insane. That's pretty insane. Incredible.
Shout out Zach, Harlan Hill finalist as well.
One of
Congrats,
nine.
Zach.
One of nine. That's going to be. We'll see. I think it comes out beginning of January is when he finds out. So it's quite the wait. I know it's over Christmas break, so I don't know if it's all the way in January, but yeah, it's been quite impressive. I'll pull up the stats here. I mean, the guy is just going off. Total offense. 5,690, passing yards, 5,157, second in completions per game, 32, 173 passing efficiency. I don't know how you calculate passing efficiently, but I assume 173 is pretty solid. So, yeah, it's fun to watch. He'll be back for another year. I know they're losing a few guys, but pretty cool to see. You know, you have that history of, you know, long history of Mules athletics and Mules football. Then you bring in two new people, you know, Lamberson and Zabrowski, second year as coach, first year starting quarterback. Quite entertaining. So
yeah,
looking forward to that. How about basketball? How about, I know you guys, Robbie, you've been to a lot of games last year.
Mm-hmm.
You went to a lot of games last year. I don't know if you guys have been able to watch Bohatch yet or
I did. Mm-hmm. I went to the first round of the regionals with the football, and then they had a basketball game that night as well. Mm-hmm. Went to go watch them. It was different. They've got a lot of new guys, mm-hmm. and they look extremely coordinated. It was really cool to watch. I'm not a basketball person, really, mm-hmm. but I for sure will be going to a lot of games because this group of guys, there's a lot of chemistry there, and it looks like they're
a lot
ready
of good
to do
athletes.
Some stuff.
It's impressive. You haven't been to a game yet this year?
No, I haven't been able to watch them yet. I'm excited to, though.
All you care about is KU basketball, ain't it?
I mean, I will be at my fair share of Mules basketball games this coming semester. Don't you worry.
Okay. I'll be making sure. I'll be there. I'll be there. Speaking of KU basketball, how's the KU team looking right now?
They beat a inferior opponent last night by like 8 points. They're kind of looking ahead to Friday, though. They got UConn in the field house, five versus, I don't know what UConn's ranked, but it's a
top 25 team. For sure.
Oh, for sure. They're like
top 15, aren't they?
Yeah, they're very good. I'm not sure what they're ranked. That's on me. But it's going to be a good game, and Bill's going to have the boys ready.
Do you like that new pickup in Mr. Dickerson?
I do. I'm telling everybody, if he wasn't a KU guy, I'd probably hate him. But since he's on our team, I love him.
Yeah, one of those guys. He's on your team, you love him, but play against him, you hate him. Right on. Well, we're going to continue with all this sports talk when we come back, but we're going to head to a quick commercial break. Commercial break. Please keep tuning in. Keep sending in those emails. WinningFormula6409@gmail.com. You are listening to the Winning Formula on UCM Radio, The Beat.
Did you know that when you shop at a local business, you can create jobs, stimulate the local economy, and reduce your carbon footprint? 90% of net new jobs are created by small businesses, which makes them the largest employer nationally. And for every $100 spent at a local shop, 68 of those come back into the community because small businesses buy from more small businesses. Because of this, habitat loss and pollution caused by transportation has decreased by 26%. To learn more about the benefits of supporting small businesses in your community, visit one in your area today.
This message brought to you by your friends in UCM Digital Media Production.
We can stop to make sure someone is okay.
Get in the way and disrupt the situation.
Notify an authority.
Or walk them home safely.
We can change the language around rape.
We can make campuses safer for our teammates, our friends, and our classmates.
We cannot be bystanders.
Taking action isn't always easy, but it's
on us to intervene.
Because we can.
Learn more and take the pledge at itsonus.org.
Jill, why don't you tell the class what you did this weekend?
Well, my dad and I went in search of some magical minnows and found a zillion of them in the stream from our lookout rock. Then my sister and I escaped from an evil slug king and went back to my super twig fort for safety. Then we told stories till it got dark and the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Wow. Where were you, Jill?
We went to the forest. It's not that far away.
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Did you know that it costs $0 to make someone smile? A simple act of kindness can go a long way. You may walk past tons of people a day, not even knowing their story. Someone could probably be having one of the worst days, but a simple compliment on their outfit or even helping them out with a small task can change a bad day to a good one. No matter what, always try to give your neighbor a reason to smile.
Attention men under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. There goes let's grab dinner and a movie. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, "Good evening, officer." A woman admires that kind of foresight. And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 bye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Because nothing says, I'm a catch, more than a guy who lives in his parents' basement and calls it my place.
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Winning Formula on UCM Radio The Beat. I am your host, Cole Elling. I am being joined by two of my dear friends and teammates, Robbie Sager and Calvin Dillon. We just got done talking about some UCM athletics, how we're going to follow suit next semester. It's exactly what we were talking about. But we're going to take back to our conversation we started previously in the show about a book called Simplicity. This book is by Stephen Yellen. It mentions our big thing and for me in this book is something called the fluid motion factor. Our assistant, Ian Barnes, shout out, big dog. What big a guy. He's been here for, gosh, he was, when I came in my freshman year, I think he was a fifth year. And then we had COVID, so he played a sixth year, my sophomore year. Yep. Because I traveled with him a couple times. And then he's been here ever since as assistant. So for another three, been here, gosh, 9 years.
That dude bleeds Mules Golf.
Oh, bleeds black and red, that's for sure. But introduced us to this book, and we both, I haven't completed the book, sorry, Big Dog, shout out back to Big Dog, but I've gotten a lot of good stuff from it already, and talking about getting in the zone, and what that means. So just one of you lead us off, get us a good foundation of what this book is, kind of just a synopsis of what this book has kind of taught you.
Before I let Robbie talk about that, I would be remiss to not fix my slip up from earlier. We led the show off. We have three academic All-Americans sitting here, and it was brought to my attention over break that Alex Gentry, our teammate, friend, also is an academic All-American. Yes. So our sincerest apologies go out to Xander Bogaerts for not mentioning him off the top of, you know, having that accomplishment.
That's on us. Yes. You know, that's not on you. This is my show. That's on me.
Yeah.
That's on me.
Thank
Alex.
Shadow G.
Yeah. Barely got it though, I think. Probably. Anyway, back to the zone. Back to getting in the zone. Let's talk about it. Just give me something here, Robbie.
I think he mentioned this sometime over the summer, mm-hmm. and as soon as he sent it to us, I was like, okay, I should really get that book. So mm-hmm. I got it, put it on my bookshelf for a while, and didn't really read it. And then once we got here, I started reading it because I had a little bit of time. Mm-hmm. But it was really, really eye-opening. I think I read like 30 pages, and I texted him. I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, this is incredible. Mm-hmm. And it was something that I think clicked for me even before I even read it. I didn't understand like the fluid motion factor per se, but I think something over the summer just kind of clicked and I was playing some pretty good golf. But anyway, basically, simplicity is all about quieting the mind, mm-hmm. because golf is such a complicated sport. It seems so simple. I think there's a quote out there, I can't remember exactly. I think it was Arnold Palmer or Jack Nicklaus, one of the two. Golf is endlessly simple, but also extremely complicated. And I totally butchered that, but it's whatever.
It's something along those lines.
Yes. Yeah. So there's a lot that goes into it. You know, you got to judge wind, got to judge, you know, elevation change, stuff like that. So making sure that all of that happens pre-taking the shot, that's kind of one of the big things that I took away. But then another big thing that I took away was the bank, mm-hmm. that you have, your memory bank. Correct. Have you gotten to that part yet?
Correct, yes.
So every single swing you've made is somewhere in your brain, mm-hmm. and your muscles know how to do that. And I think Ian's touched this before, he even mentioned simplicity as well. Mm-hmm. Every single motion that you make in your golf swing is always going to be there. you never, it's like putting money in the bank. Mm-hmm. And it's there. It's not going to be taken away. There's no stealing it, nothing like that. You're never going to lose that.
Yep.
It's just a matter of accessing that and making sure that you are able to get to that point instead of, you know, okay, that shot went left, so I'm going to adjust my swing so I go straight this time and not go left. Most of the time, whenever that happens, you overcompensate and go right.
Yeah.
So it's all about just quieting your mind and accessing your memory bank and realizing that you still have it. Because a lot of us, I think Coach harps on this all the time, it's not your swing.
Yeah.
Your swing is perfect. Your swing is fine. Your swing is what got you here.
Yeah.
Your swing doesn't change. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't understand why we always go back to swing changes whenever something goes wrong in a tournament. And reading that book, I realized that in myself. I was like, oh man, I really think about swing changes a lot, and it doesn't need to be that.
Yeah.
So
there's a clip that I just saw about Tiger, and he was talking about what he does, you know, the week before tournaments. He had, you know, he would make sure he hits 1,000 golf balls, makes contact with 1,000 golf balls the week before a tournament one day. And like, whether it be 100 tee shots or 100 drivers, 400 chips and or 300 chips and 600 putts, and he's not working on anything. He's just getting that feel down, because he says, like you said, that feel, that muscle memory never leaves your body. So it's like, once he knows that he's hit those shots, granted it's Tiger, so it's going to look a little different coming off the face than mine, but once he's hit those shots, he can, like you said, it's now in his feel that he knows it's there. It's just recalling it from that point. And I think he mentioned this like the other week, he was doing some sort of clinic and I saw this video, but it's all about, that's what I got about it, was the in the bank. You know, the money's there. Your money's in the bank. Just hit the shot. I'm upset with myself because I didn't get into reading it until after we were done with the semester. And then I went home and played a weekend of some of my best golf in a really long time. I felt like it was just a really free feeling. And I don't know about you guys, but that's one thing that I feel after reading this book, is just, it's a freer mindset 100%. In golf.
Yeah, I kind of had the same experience. I started reading it in the middle of our semester and read only like the first 30 or 35 pages. And like Robbie said, kind of immediately something clicked inside my head, and I kind of bought into what he was saying in the book. And the next week had the best ball striking tournament of my life. And the thing I really bought into is he talks about abstract thinking, like trying to quiet your thoughts. And that, like Robbie said, just kind of trying to turn the brain off without thinking about turning the brain off. But what I would do is I would play this song in my head, but try and do it so quietly. And that's what I'm thinking about over the ball. I'm not thinking about anything else. Like Robbie said, you stand behind the shot, you know what you need to do. You know, you evaluate the lie, the wind, the slope, you know, pressure, where you need to hit the ball, where the pin's at, all those things. You get that in your mind. And for us, it's a quick decision at this point. And then you step into it, and I just started playing that song really quietly. And you know, that's not just for golf. I mean, that goes for, you know, baseball, basketball, soccer, football. I mean, you know how to catch a football, you know how to throw a baseball. Done it a million times. Just quieting the mind and letting your athletics take over is so much easier said than done, but it truly does make a huge difference.
It's worth it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like every time you listen, at least in golf, I feel like every post game, you know, win, you know, like post game interview after someone who wins, like every guy says the same things just in a different way. Like, it's just like, mentally I was there, mentally I was prepared, you know, I wasn't there, it was just playing. And like he says in the book, a lot of times, like a lot of post game interviews after people win big championships, people go like, I don't even know what just happened. And they're like, they're so in the zone. They don't even know. You know, Tiger said he's blacked out over golf shots all the time. Like, I don't remember hitting that shot. I remember preparing for it. I don't remember hitting it. And that's like, I'm not even remotely close to that, you know, mentally right now, which one day I hope to be. But like, that it says a lot for someone to just be like, you know, for a long time before reading this book, I was like, these people are just BSing me right now. Like, there's no way this guy is saying these things for real. And like, he's telling you how to do it in the book. It's quite fascinating. My next question, you mentioned outside of golf. This might be quite a hard question to answer. Is there ways after, you know, using this method, reading this book, thinking about it, talking about it, are there other things outside of golf that you can see it applying into your life, maybe? Or do you think this is strictly just it's athletic performance based?
I don't think it's strictly athletic. I mean, you know, a lot of people are really, really bad test takers. You know, they get stressed over it, they get anxious, and then they just forget about it. But if you really, I mean, I know you got to think when you're taking a test because all the knowledge is up there. But if you just try to simplify your mind and not stress about it, I mean, that obviously easier said than done.
Yeah.
But if you just try to quiet your mind, and I mean, I know this goes back to golf, but right before a shot, every single time after reading this book, I told myself, take a deep breath right before your shot.
Mm-hmm.
That helped calm my body, calm my muscles and my nerves, so that I was able to step into it and just feel relaxed.
Yeah.
And I think you can do the same thing with like academics or like an interview. You know, you can do the same exact thing
mm-hmm.
as what athletes do. And it applies everywhere. I don't think it's just for golf. And I think the cool thing about this book, he wasn't even a golfer. He was a tennis player.
Yeah.
But he switched it, or I think he has a book for tennis,
mm-hmm.
but he also was able to apply it to golf as well. And I think he might have other books out there that kind of relate to other sports as well.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure because
it's Stephen Yellen, Yellin. It's Simplicity. So if you, it's backed here by Your Mules Golf Team, Robbie Sager and Calvin Dillon. So they're all about this thing. So am I. So you're a golfer out there, Dad. I know you're listening. It might be a stocking stuffer for you, Dad. So don't buy it. But just a good idea to think about. And I was something I wanted to talk about with you guys. So I think I should have had Big Dog on here with us. He would have been
all
over.
We
would have gone the whole hour, probably.
Yeah.
Shout out Mark Elling, though.
Shout out Mark. He's been playing some great golf, though.
Love
Shout
that out, from Dad. The kid.
I don't know, it was a couple weeks ago, but he set his career low out at the National from the Purples. Walked out there, shot 2 over. It's a tough golf course.
It's a real hard golf course.
You know, he don't hit it very far no more. He's a big guy. He's an old guy, so he's, you know. He dinks it around, but he hits it straight. He doesn't lose the golf ball either, you know.
Sounds like someone else I know. Doesn't hit it very far, but
Robbie probably.
Oh yeah, I'm done. Robbie.
Who were you gonna say?
I mean, I guess I don't really hit it that far, but I don't lose golf balls.
You're longer than you used to be.
That's true.
I did see a lot more distance out of you this year. I want to make that known.
Some people are calling me CD Bombs.
CD Bombs. Here's a hot topic for golf. Is distance as big as what people are saying it is nowadays? Are you still?
I think honestly it is. I mean, you see, like, who was the player of the year last year in our conference? Trajan.
Trajan from Southern.
Yes, that dude absolutely rips the golf ball.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know, I mean, Beckler didn't really hit it very far, but he was a great player. Dawson Willis from Washburn absolutely nukes the golf ball. But like, especially professionally, yeah. I think those, I mean, you look at all those guys, they are all chasing distance.
I think collegiately, short game will get you further than distance.
Agreed.
But mm-hmm. at a professional level now, I mean, you look at the top 10 in the world, most of those guys are up there in driving distance mm-hmm. right now.
Oh, yeah.
And like, you look at the best short game players, and a lot of them are like on live now because, you know, they're making it by, but like, I don't know.
Yeah, I think you, especially at our level at Division II college golf, you can win a lot of golf tournaments by hitting it straight and hitting it close. Mm-hmm. But yeah, once you get into, you know, Power 5 Division I pro golf, I mean,
because everybody's hitting it fairly straight.
Everyone's hitting it pretty straight. Everyone has an idea where their ball's going. That's more, mm-hmm. you know, hitting it far and then sticking wedges in there.
Because if you're losing golf balls, you're automatically, no matter how you're hitting it, you're going to be finishing the bottom of the half. But, like, you know, you got 70% of the lineup, 75% of the field that are hitting it decent that week and can keep it in play. That's when that distance really starts. And I don't feel like, for us even too, like, you don't play a lot of golf courses. Again, this is PGA Tour versus us, but like, we don't play a lot of golf courses where it's like absolutely penalizing to hit it in the rough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you mm-hmm. can bomb a drive out there, and if you're in the rough, you can still get 8 iron on the green kind of thing. So it's very different. There are different ways of playing golf, but I know we had our conversation way back about what was that argument?
Yeah, Fitty and I had a heated discussion about, let's see, what, like, would you rather hit it 300 yards in the fairway every time, or
like never,
never three putt or never,
like
miss,
never
a putt.
Miss a putt inside 5 feet
yeah.
or 4 feet.
Yeah, that's yeah. what it was.
And it went all nine rounds. Coach got into it. Yeah, everybody had their own. I don't know. I think there's different, you know, versions of what we were talking about. Yeah. Like, I don't know if it was fairway every time, but it was like 300 every time or something like that. It was something
yeah.
stupid.
I think after a day of arguing, we figured out that we were agreeing, just not saying the right words to like understand each other.
Yeah, but that was funny. I do remember that. Yeah. All right, well, it's time for our one and only tradition here at the Winning Formula, and that's the not-so-rapid-rapid-fire questions I have for you boys today.
Let's go.
You know, answer honestly, people. You know, the people want to know you. They want to get to know you. They want your – so if you have some hot takes, I want to hear it, all right? Best mid-round snack on the golf course, pull it out of the bag. A1, what's going – like, yes, I have this in my bag.
Okay, I have two answers.
Mm-hmm.
If Coach is around with his cart and, like, we're in a tournament, there's these Nature Valley – cocoa butter little sandwich things.
Oh yeah,
you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, they're like in between two crackers.
Yes,
so like the almond butter stuff.
Yes, it's like eating a slice of heaven mid round. I mean, those things are legitimate. So that's if we're in tournament, and then if we're just like playing on the weekend and you're swinging by the clubhouse, hot dog all day.
Okay,
that's a good one. I think honestly, I think it was late in the season. Coach started getting Uncrustables.
Mm-hmm.
Now I did have an unfortunate run in with an Uncrustable recently. I grabbed one. It was probably a month old. I don't even know. But I thought it was still fine. Opened it, and there was a hole in the bottom, so all the jelly fell out onto my white joggers while I was playing. Unfortunate. I think they're clean now, but that's I think Uncrustables, so like the PB&J, that's a good one.
Yeah.
But I'm a big fan of fruit.
Okay.
During the round, it's a good.
You healthy.
But like the fruit gets warm and wet and soft.
Not if you have a lunchbox of some sort. Call me Nikki Nukes out there with my lunchbox.
Yeah.
His bowling ball.
Yeah, we have a teammate. Shout out Nikki Nukes. I don't know how he does it. Kudos to him. But he carries around a cooler. In a hand, like walking
like
on the golf course.
Like a lunchbox.
Like a lunchbox. And he's so weird about his stuff being cold that he don't care. Let's carry that cooler.
It's shaped like something you put a bowling ball in and take to the bowling alley.
Yeah.
So we always give him the business that he's...
It's... I don't know. It's so odd. I've never seen someone do it, but...
He's sticking to his guns, though. I mean,
I respect it.
Yeah.
I respect it.
Yeah, me too.
Those four sophomores all together, you know, they like to stick to their guns.
That's right.
So shout out to them. All right. Worst box lunch that you've received from a coach or a team at their tournament. We always – so let's clarify to the audience. Sorry, I should clarify this. We play 36 holes on Monday. Usually, I think always, or if they're not, that they have to give us a box lunch of some sort. So our coach has a golf cart, swings around, hand you your box lunch, sacked lunch, and you're just walking and eating. Usually it consists of like a turkey sandwich or something, some chips, a half rotten apple, and a tiny packet of mustard. So what is your guys' worst box lunch experience?
Honestly, they're all pretty much the same, so they kind of run together. It's hard to think of one off the top of my head. I mean, the sandwiches are usually really, really dry.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you don't want to just like sit down crisscross applesauce and throw the mustard on there because... You know, you got 36 holes to play, and especially late in the season, you know, the sun's going to go down, so you got to get stuff done. But, you know, I try to, you know, eat the sandwich as much as I can, but typically the sandwich is just so dry that you can't get through it.
Yeah. I would say they're all pretty similar, but...
For me, I have this vivid memory of a wrap that they gave us that was all tortilla and no meat. Like, there was maybe one slice of ham or turkey inside this
thing.
It's
like lettuce and cheese.
I think I remember that.
Yep. So that for the entree, and then, like, some form... Like, whenever they try to throw, like, a piece of fruit in there, like an apple, and then...
It's never a fresh
like
apple.
Like a granola bar. Give me the chips. Give me the cookie. I need some, you know,
some
junk
food
in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember at conference down in Bolivar Silo... I opened up my box lunch. Apple was fine. It was just sitting there in the corner of the box. I'm working on my sandwich. Go to get the apple, and I turn it over, and the whole backside of it just rotten brown.
Ugh.
I was like, just don't even give it to me at that point. Like, what are you doing? So that was a day ruiner. But you know, every once in a while they got some good cookies in there though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And if they got some Miss Vicky's chips, I will never turn down some Miss Vicky's potato
chips.
Can't
beat Miss Vicky's.
Yeah, some of the best stuff there. What is the best part of being? Best part of being a collegiate golfer.
Best part of being a collegiate golfer is I couldn't tell you the last time I paid for a round of golf.
That is true.
That is true, yeah.
I mean, in the summer I work at a golf course, so they give me free golf there. They give me free golf there. And then, you know, throughout the year, coaches getting you on. Some places in Kansas City, we go to Sedalia. Mm-hmm. Obviously blessed to play Mules National, but yeah, you know, golf's an expensive sport. You got to pay to play, but yeah, that's definitely a huge benefit.
Mm-hmm. I would have to say you guys.
Yeah.
I love you guys so much. You guys are like a second family to me, so I'm really appreciative of the camaraderie, and especially being a transfer athlete. I know my other teammates aren't listening to this, so they weren't as close to me as I was and as I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. So coming here middle of my sophomore year, and the second I set foot in Warrensburg, shout out Nick Westrich, he invited me over to the apartment to watch the Chiefs game, and from that moment on, I knew I was a part of something special, and it was really awesome.
That was over at my old apartment.
It was at your apartment.
Yep, that was fun.
That was the first time I met you guys, and it was mm-hmm. so I'm just really grateful for this family and being a part of it. That's really awesome.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there's nothing like that team camaraderie, especially for us. I mean, it's not easy with college golf because I got to play you guys to even get a chance to compete. Audiences know that if you're a returning listener, I've talked about qualifying a number of times on this show, but it's not easy. And so to be able to keep that team camaraderie is kind of everything when it comes to college golf, in my opinion. But back to what you said about, I just realized that too. Like I'm so stingy when I go back home and play with my friends because they're like, oh, let's go play this place. I'm like, I'm not paying. Like, I'm not paying to play. No. And so, you know, I get my way on a few places, but yeah, I rarely ever pay for golf, which is, I am so sad when I graduate because that's not going to be the case after I leave here. So,
yeah. Kind of Robbie's answer makes mine look a little materialistic.
Yeah. But,
you know, it is what it is.
Hey, it's all right.
Yeah.
What is something you have learned through competitive golf that applies to everyday life?
You got to stay patient. I didn't really start out my collegiate career the way I thought I would. You know, obviously COVID was a factor, but wasn't really playing the best golf. But then this summer I started playing some really good golf, played well at the Missouri Amateur, and then got my first win at the Lincoln Invitational, first collegiate win. So that was really awesome there. And it was just the fact that I was able to stay patient, and you know, everybody's going to get that opportunity. Well, actually, I'll redact that statement. Not everybody is going to get that opportunity, but if you stay patient and keep your nose to the grindstone, keep working hard, you know, good things come to those who work hard. You know, talent only gets you so far.
Yeah.
But if you keep working hard and stay patient and keep trusting the process and enjoy the process, mm-hmm. good things come to those guys who wait.
Yeah.
I think, like a lot of sports, golf is very comparable to life. And my dad gave a graduation speech for my cousin, and he kind of made it Augusta National Masters themed. And one of his key points was everyone needs a good caddy. Mm-hmm. Everyone needs a good partner in life. Everyone needs someone to keep them accountable, keep them in check, keep their head in the right frame of mind, give them good advice. So I think that's something that that's kind of stuck with me, is everyone needs a good caddy, needs a good partner.
Mm-hmm. Shout out Jimmy.
So is Neely your caddy?
I'd say Neely is one of my caddies.
Oh, you got multiple caddies.
Oh, like,
No. Neely, I think you're going to have to ask some questions about that.
Neely is a phenomenal caddy. My dad is a phenomenal caddy. Hey, yes, Fitty, you're a phenomenal caddy.
Oh, I appreciate that. I do good caddy work.
Do the listeners know about Big Fitty?
Are you going to want to tell this story now? Is that what you're saying?
Kind of.
I don't know if people do. We can talk about it after rapid fire. We got to get through rapid. Okay. This is rapid fire, Calvin. Yes.
My All apologies.
Right. No, you're good. Next one. What is this is right back at you, Cal. Is it weird to clean your golf ball with your own
body, as in tongue, saliva, mouth, contact, ball in mouth.
I'm going to cut him off here. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know if you people listening do this or ever seen people listening or people do this, but we have one here on the team, Calvin Dillon. He puts that entire ball in his mouth and spits it back out, rubs it around, and clean to go.
Okay, I'm going to defend myself. I'm going to dig my heels in here, pin my ears back. I do not put the whole entire ball in my mouth.
I think I've seen you
put that thing in there and gurgle it around. We'll stop right there. I usually lick the ball with my tongue, yes, and then spread around with my thumb and then wipe it on my pant leg. Okay. And the reason behind this is because I don't like to carry a towel around, or I don't like to walk back to my bag.
Uh-huh.
Some might say lazy, some might say efficient. I'll let you decide. But I...
Are you worried about getting sick that way, though?
I've done this for probably...
He's got so the if you,
if 15, 16 yeah. years now.
If there's fertilizer, if you're worried about fertilizer, it's priority in your body.
Yeah. And Matt Heyman, our... What would that be? Predecessor?
Sure.
Yeah. Big word. And he graduated a couple years ago. He would physically put the whole ball in his mouth.
Oh, yeah. My dad sometimes does that, I think. I think I've seen my dad throw the ball in his mouth. Maybe that's, no. You know, he does is he will check if he doesn't know how soft or hard a ball is. He'll bite on the ball. So he's like, oh, I've never hit this ball. Start bite. Gnawing on the ball. I'm like, that can't be good for your jaw. No way.
Bark.
Yeah.
Dog.
No, this guy makes fun of me for having a tiny towel.
You do have a handkerchief.
His handkerchief. Your, yeah.
His napkin. Yellow handkerchief.
It's not yellow anymore. You need
it. What, is it gray now?
Yeah.
Okay, thank goodness. You have the god-awful mustard towel everywhere.
Hey, it's efficient. Just throw it in the back pocket and clean your ball whenever you want.
Very
Don't
efficient.
Have to lick it.
I won't. I mean, it's the yellow handkerchief is what I was talking about, but sure.
Shout out, Sarah. Thank you for the comment.
Yeah. If you could have any non-athlete celebrity join the Mules golf team, who would it be?
Non-athlete celebrity?
Yeah.
Joining our golf team?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, goodness. Give me T-Swift. I knew that would make you do something.
No.
Hand up. That's immediately who popped into my mind as well. But... I won't answer that just Why? For the sake because Robbie answered that.
No, I want yours. This is a dual rapid fire. I need who's your celebrity you want on the golf team?
Leo DiCaprio.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Leo.
Interesting. Yeah. Does he play golf?
I don't know. I'm sure you have that much money. You
play golf.
Hit the links every once in a while.
Yeah.
My first instinct was T-Swift just because of the Travis Kelce thing. But upon further reflection, I would like to say Ryan Reynolds, every guy's man crush.
I don't know if that's my man crush.
Who is your man crush? Probably Bill Self.
I'm looking at him.
There's two other guys in here. You've got to be more specific.
I'm looking at Cole, Michael Elling.
Yeah, a.k.a. Big Fitty.
Big Fitty.
What is the worst part of collegiate golf? We talked about the best parts. What's the worst?
I think you mentioned it earlier, qualifying.
I hate qualifying.
You're playing against your 10, 11, 12 best friends in the whole wide world. Fighting for spots, you know, you have 12 or 13 on the team and only 5 or 6 travel.
It's
just the worst. We're all competitive. We all, you know, want to win. But at the end of the day, you know, putting that much pressure and, I guess, joy into traveling or not. And, you know, when one man who you love is standing between that, I mean, that really sucks a lot.
It's not easy.
Yeah.
I'd have to say our ride, man. Our van sucks.
Yeah.
Just kidding, though. Yeah. He hit the nail on the head. Qualifying is, it's good competition because you know that it's going to be a good fight between, but the problem is that it's between your best friends.
Yeah, correct. I completely agree. It's not fun whatsoever. I mean, it's fun when you play well, you get out and compete and you play well, but it's just like even when you're in the thick of it and you're at the top, it don't matter. All around, it's just not that fun. It's just, and it's not like we can't do anything else. Qualifying is a part of college golf. Every team qualifies in one way or another. How you decide who's going to play, but it's just not that enjoyable. I would agree. If you could play any other collegiate sport, what would it be?
I'm gonna. Can I have two answers?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I played baseball for a while growing up, so I'd probably play baseball because I love it. It was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. But then my other thing, I would kind of like to try esports.
Esports. Oh. We had that TV show that I'm on this that I write script for. We had interviewed a esports player. They got like a whole setup here and like it's kind of a thing. I would be down for esports.
It's big.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, well, first off, I'm not athletic. I run like I got a plow behind me. I jump like I have rocks in my pockets. So
no, you get up.
Yeah, well, sure. I am not athletic, but back when everyone was not athletic when we were young, I was a pretty good basketball player.
Okay.
So I would say basketball, just put me in the corner and let me shoot.
Yeah, you got a jump shot.
Yeah.
You got a jump shot. I mean, you're a KU fan. It's in your blood.
That's right.
That's right. All right. Last question, most important question.
Ooh.
What does it mean to be a mule?
Wow.
Mm. Being a mule means that you're tough, you are resilient, you never give up, you are accountable. Being a mule, you're a lot to a lot of people, or a lot to our teammates, classmates, family. Significant others, but just, yeah, tough, gritty.
Mm-hmm. Grit.
Grit.
I love the word grit.
It's good.
How about you, Robbie?
I mean, he kind of stole all the words right out of my mouth, but I would say you're a different breed.
Different breed.
Literally.
Yeah.
Mule, literally
a different breed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it ain't no horse.
No.
No.
Ain't no donkey.
I love it. Well, here's the thing, guys. I lost track of time. We are basically 8.5 minutes away from wrapping this thing up. We're gonna go to a quick break. Can you guys stick around? We can talk some college football.
Oh yeah.
You got class if you want to head out, or we'll have about 6 minutes to talk a little college football. We got conference play, conference championship games this weekend. And we need the football guru, Calvin Dillon, to help us out. Because we won't know what to expect if you don't tell us.
That's right.
All right.
I got the crystal ball.
You are listening to The Winning Formula on UCM Radio The Beat. I'm your host, Cole Elley. I'm here with Calvin Dillon and Robbie Sager from the men's golf team. Stay tuned through this break. We're going to talk some college football when you get back.
What are all the things you witness online in a day? Cats playing piano. Selfies on your feed. Your friend's picture being turned into a nasty meme that's been shared 50 times? 51. 52. When someone's being bullied online, it's hard to know what to do. Now you can speak up with the witness emoji. It looks like an eye in a speech bubble, and it's in the symbol section near the clocks in your phone. You'll let the world know it isn't cool, and you'll let your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
1 in 9 people worldwide go to bed hungry each night. That's why UCM students and faculty are encouraged to visit the UCM Campus Cupboard. Campus Cupboard is a volunteer-based charity dedicated to alleviating hunger and financial burdens in the UCM community. Any UCM faculty, staff member, or student who presents a valid ID may select 10 items per week from Campus Cupboard. Campus Cupboard is located in the lower level of the UCM Student Rec and Wellness Center and is open Tuesday through Thursday from 3 to 5:30 p.m.
Did you know that millions of animals are either abused or abandoned every year in the United States? Donate to your local animal shelter today. And if you have room in your home, why not adopt a furry little friend to add to your family? Be a part of the change. Be a part of saving a helpless animal's life.
Long ago, you wouldn't think of galloping on a horse while doing calligraphy, and you wouldn't have attempted to ride your bike while typing a letter. Yet you think you can safely operate a multi-ton vehicle while texting? Behind the wheel is no place to multitask. If you want to BRB, drive now and text later. Lives depend on it.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Wow.
Welcome back to the Winning Formula on UCM Radio The Beat. I am your host, Cole Elling. I'm being joined here by my two good friends and teammates, Robbie Sager and Calvin Dillon. Usually, the guys aren't sticking around this long, but we were having such a good time that we kind of just lost track of time, and only a few minutes left in the show, so they are willing to stick around. We're doing some minor adjustments, and we're going to talk some college football. It is championship weekend for college football. All the D1 conference championship games are this weekend, but we're just going to focus on the Power Five. And Calvin Dillon is not only the Winning Formula super fan, but he is the college football guru, some would say. So we're going to start off, I think, kind of an underwhelming. Read past it. We're going to start out Pac-12, and I am pumped for this Pac-12 championship. We got number 5 Oregon playing number 3 Washington. Just like the Ohio State game, I mean, it's going to be whoever wins or loses this game out of college football playoffs. There can only be one Pac-12 guy in there, and a lot of people think Oregon's going to steamroll them. I think it's going to be a great game.
First of all, I think we got to shout out Johnny Good, part of the Washington
football Good.
Strength and conditioning. He was our strength and conditioning coach last year. Shout out Johnny.
How can we not root for Washington now?
Correct.
Exactly.
That's what I was going to say.
I'm leathered in for Washington. Yeah. I've never been a big Oregon guy. I think Bo Nix is good. I don't know. I want to see Washington in there. It'd be so cool to see Washington back in there. I'm not an Oregon guy. So you feel the same way?
Yeah, I think like you said, the winner of this makes the college football playoff. And I'm going Washington in honor of Johnny Good.
Wow.
In honor of the hype man himself.
Right. Well, it's Washington here in Warrensburg. Next game, you also have some connection to Oklahoma State. Your sister is a freshman at Oklahoma State. Go Pokes! They are facing off against number 7 Texas Longhorns. Gonna be a good game. I think really good game. I haven't watched a lot of Texas football this year, so I'm not really, I'm not well versed in some Longhorn football this year, but.
Hand up, I have not either. The two games I watched were the K-State game and the KU game against Texas.
Okay.
Texas won both of those. but I think you look at Oklahoma State, no one expect them to be here. They're expected to finish towards the bottom of the conference, and Mike Gundy does it again. He makes the Big 12 championship game. I'm going to go Oklahoma State beats Texas in the Big 12 championship game.
Wow. That would be something. That would switch up a lot around for bowl season too. I mean, there's a lot of games here that even not in these Power Five games that could mean a lot. Especially this next one, the SEC championship. Number 1 Georgia facing off against number 8 Alabama, who just got a huge win over Auburn.
That was insane.
If you missed that game, it was like 20-30 seconds left. Fourth and goal from like the 30 something. Back corner touchdown. Alabama wins. I hated to see it. I dropped to my knees. I held my head, and I said, no, God, no. I did not. I wanted Auburn so bad, unranked Auburn. That game's always so good to watch. Tore me apart. But I think this is good for us again, though, because I want to see them knock down Georgia. I don't know if it's possible, but they definitely have a lot of momentum going into this game. Georgia's been challenged by a few teams this year, Mizzou Tigers being one of them. But I don't know. I think this could be a good matchup. Do you think it has potential to be a good matchup?
Oh, yeah, of course. I think this is the committee's least favorite game. If Alabama beats Georgia, then they're in for a world of hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, can you leave out Georgia back-to-back national champions? I mean, Alabama enters the conversation. You know, that's just a lot of chips get put on the table and it's going to be tough. But I think Georgia does beat them.
I think this is the exact reason why they're moving to 12 next year. It's just like games like these, should not be deciding the national champion yet. I mean, it's just like you need to get them in bracket play. That's when it's okay. But like, this would be a great game for the first round of a bracket 12 man or 12 team bracket. So it's gonna be quite interesting. I think, Georgia's the favorite here. Obviously, I can see them winning by a field goal or a touchdown. I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch, but we'll see. This one, I mean, talk about just a terrible national conference title game. I do not like it. Michigan, Iowa. I think this is one of the biggest spreads in all of college football when it comes to
a conference championship game this weekend. I mean, I don't know if Tech or if Iowa's going to put more than 10 points on the board against Michigan. I mean, they offensively are just struggling. But hey, you never know. Maybe they can stop J.J. McCarthy in that Michigan offense.
Yeah, I mean, this game, like you said, kind of an embarrassment for the Big Ten championship game. Not only is Michigan going to win, they're going to boat race Iowa.
I know. And it's like, well, you look at, and Alex and I were having this conversation last night, you just look at the two sides of the conference in the Big Ten. I mean, it is just so one-sided. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, shout out Henry Manning. Congrats, you made it to the conference championship. But, yeah, I mean, especially the momentum Michigan has right now. Harbaugh's coming back to the sidelines this game. That you can definitely tell Michigan has this us versus the world mentality. Yeah,
just beat Ohio State.
I mean, yeah, it's. I think Michigan, I would not be surprised if Michigan is the team hosting that trophy come January. I wouldn't be surprised. This team's really, it's the hottest team right now in college football, in my opinion. The last one, as we just hit overtime, I apologize, but ACC championship, Louisville, number 14 Louisville, number 4 Florida State. Quick, Florida State.
I'm going to actually go Louisville. Florida State's starting quarterback just injured himself, that's done for right. the season. I'm going Louisville.
That's big momentum change that I did not write in my notes. That's on me.
That's how why you have the expert.
How
here.
I dare in the finale this way, but we have to get off air. I'm going to get yelled at. Robbie Sager, Calvin Dillon here with me, men's UCM men's golf team. I appreciate you guys coming down.
Thanks for having us.
A whole lot of fun. This is the Winning Formula on UCM Radio, The Beat. I'm your host, Cole Elling. It's been a phenomenal semester being here with you all, and appreciate you tuning in. So one last time, you're listening to the Winning Formula on UCM Radio, The Beat.
On what station can you hear talk shows, country music, Gaelic music, oldies, funk, and more? Why, it's the University of Central Missouri's The Beat, the best in college radio.